The duo, Still on the Hill, has a new CD coming out, and Kelly and Donna Mulholland used Beaver Lake and its history and prehistory as inspiration. The collection of songs on the CD, Once a River, were written by Donna and Kelly after they had been approached by the Association for Beaver Lake, or ABLE. Recently, Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums talked to Donna and Kelly about the CD.
Is it true that the last song on this CD, What's Done Is Done, was the first one written?
It was. I'm glad you asked that, because that's really how this whole thing got started. First of all, the idea was the brainchild of Tony Mitlich from the organization called ABLE, and that's the Association for Beaver Lake Environment. And this man, he'd seen us doing our historical songs, and he had the idea that it would be beneficial to put together this album to benefit the lake and the watershed. Well, when he asked me, he didn't realize that I actually grew up on that lake and that I was 4 years old when they flooded the lake, and my folks had property right there in what is now LaRue. And so I had to, even though it was a great way to grow up, and kind of like paradise, you might say.
Mm-hmm. That lake was his ocean.
Right,
It was beautiful. But as an adult, I became more mindful of the other side of the equation, which is a reservoir, you know, because mm-hmm. there's a downside. There's a lot of environmental impact, and there's a lot of cultural impact. And so here
we are. Cemeteries were flooded.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And here we are being asked to devote half of, a year to this lake, which I have very mixed feelings about. And so it was really good timing, because I really needed to sort that out. And this project gave me an opportunity to do that. And that first song is my attempt to actually sort this issue out in my own head.
He was testing the waters.
Right. And it's kind of, in retrospect, it seems kind of silly, because it's so obvious now that it's all water. It doesn't matter whether it's in a bathtub or a creek or a river or a lake. It's all precious. And I guess, our generation, I guess you're the same age as me, we're probably the last generation that can live like there's no end to the water supply. Those days are over. All water is precious. And it's going to be the responsibility of every single citizen of Northwest Arkansas to be mindful of how we impact the watershed.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the reconciliation of those memories of your youth, because you have a lyric in that song that you refuse to let those memories be tainted. Those good times.
That's true. That's true. I want to hold on to that, of the paradise part.
Right.
And actually, it's helping me to fall in love with the lake again. Mm-hmm. I've always loved the lake, but, we still have that property. My family still has that cabin on Beaver Lake in LaRue.
And we love it.
And I love it. And
our son spent every single birthday party there. It's part of our life.
But this issue has I needed to reconcile those two things, and this album forced me to do it.
In 64, they flooded the land. At 4 years old, I could hardly understand. I've only the faintest memory of the cool, wide river beneath my feet. I never saw the forest cut down, folks lose their homes and cemeteries drown. Only saw that clear blue lake, and the joy of my childhood I'll not forsake.
Several years ago, someone asked me why Lost Bridge Marina was called Lost Bridge Marina. I did not know. Now, thanks to Once a River, I know. This is an amazing story.
Isn't that a fun story?
It is.
So this bridge was built in 1929, but no road, and it was to connect Garfield to Eureka?
Yes. It was made during boom times, I guess.
Yeah.
And, they built a very elaborate bridge, very substantial structure. And but then the Depression came and money ran out, and they just never connected it to the feeder roads that would have, so the bridge sat there unused during its entire lifetime.
Yeah.
And then only in 1943, I believe, to be washed away by a flood.
So it sits at the bottom of Beaver Lake right now. So it's truly a lost bridge now.
It was never, ever used.
No,
apparently.
I think maybe some wagons,
sure,
or some people would just kind of
pedestrians
would go use it.
But they never connected it to the roads on either side, so it would have been most difficult.
Way back the turn of the
century. The Ozark Mountains were rugged and steep. Folks in Garfield needed a road to get to Eureka Springs, I am told. But the old White River was deep and wide. If you wanted to get to the other side, you needed a boat and a wing and a prayer, 'cause there ain't no roads awaiting over there. Lost Bridge.
Donna just had a really good idea of starting with that Flood of 27 song, which which kind of gave, we thought, a perfect starting place for all this.
A lot of people don't realize that when the flood of 1927 in the Mississippi flooded, one-third of Arkansas was underwater, one-third of our state.
And some of it 30 feet deep. We're not talking like a small amount.
Yeah. Yes. It started the great migration of folks moving up to Chicago up north, and because of that, we have this series of dams all along the White River, and a lot of people don't realize that. Some people that have just moved to northwest Arkansas don't even realize that the Beaver Lake is a reservoir.
That's true. It was, I guess that's another part, gets back to Abel and why they wanted to do this in the first place. And by the way, it's not just Abel. It's also the Beaver Water District, the Beaver Watershed Alliance, and the Ozark Water Watch. Those are our primary partners. And all four, you know, one thing, it's amazing that four different, completely separate environmental groups were so seamlessly able to work and collaborate together. And we saw this firsthand. We saw everybody meeting, and they're all just one happy family.
On the same page. About
I think
the same
that's
cause.
Pretty unusual. You'd think they'd have some turf wars, you know, but not even slightly. They all are good friends, actually.
And the Arkansas Arts Council also matched all this.
And they matched the funds, and Shiloh Museum helped us out. So the idea was that Tony had was that so many people, we've been growing so fast in northwest Arkansas, and most people have moved here recently, and they have no idea where that lake came from. And they don't really even know what the White River, what it was. And so they kind of take the lake for granted. But like I said earlier, we can't take the lake for granted anymore. So this is an opportunity for people to discover where this lake came from and through stories and songs feel somehow connected to it. And hopefully in that process, they will feel some ownership and some responsibility.
Almost every cove has a name. And almost every cove that is named is in Jay's song.
Well, I got me a friend and his name is Jay. Gonna paddle every inch of Beaver Lake, all 487 miles. Counting all the coves and counting all the isles. Guess it's gonna take him a while. Going down Joe's Creek, Ford's Creek, Horseshoe Bend, North Fork, Tanglewood, come around again. Kirk Hollow, Van Hollow, Tippecanoe, Mill Hollow, Penitentiary Hollow, and LaRue.
That's true. We had more fun with that. Jay Schneider is he is one of the interpreters at Hobbs Estate, and a good friend of ours. And he told us how he had these plans to explore. He was going to paddle every single inch of the lake, up and down every cove, and it's 487 miles.
Sure.
That's a long ways, you know. And it's going to take him a couple of years, but he's well into it now. So we thought that would be a fun song. So we just took a map of Beaver Lake and scoured every creek, every hollow, and all these names. There's a lot of colorful names, you know, Penitentiary Hollow and Escalapia Hollow. And
any idea what the story behind that is?
No.
Okay.
No, that's out of my neighborhood, might say.
Out of my neighborhood.
Literally.
But anyway, so it was a tongue twister for sure. We just kind of rapid fire all these different places.
You know, you've done this project, and someone came to you because they had heard the other stories that you had told and gathered.
Right.
What if someone else comes up to you a year from now and says, you know what? I'd love for you to do a series of songs about Mount Sequoia or Garrison Avenue or Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Yeah, bring it on. We're there.
That would be a dream.
Love that.
You know, we travel widely, and that's traveling is okay. But our long range plan is trying to figure out how to be closer to home and how to serve our area. We like being connected to Northwest Arkansas, and we like our community. And so this is kind of falls perfectly into that plan, you might say, in that we're able to work very close to home and get more connected with our community. And hopefully it will grow from there because, like...
Yeah, regionally, it would be lovely. We would.
That's our dream.
Which do you think would be more difficult, given that you're a perfectionist, Kelly, to write 11 songs about something that's pretty close to you, that you've experienced, or if someone came to you and said, you know, I'd like you to write songs about Spiral Mounds, which maybe you haven't... Well, you obviously don't have nearly the experience with.
You know, I think we're comfortable with any of that. Okay. As long as we go to that place and have touchstones.
Sure.
I have to, for me to write a song, I have to go kind of just immerse myself in that space or that place.
Yeah, it's not enough just to tell a story. And by the way, Donna's doing most of the songwriting. I did write several of these songs, but the majority of them are written by Donna. And and she's very prolific. She's really amazing at what you just said about somebody telling you a story or showing you something important, and she can quickly move it into a song form, which is very mysterious to me.
I think we collaborated on this one more than anyone we've done because on many of them, I would have a song kind of etched out and then I'd give it to him and he'd rework it and add his flavor. And I'd say this is truly more of a total collaboration than anything we've ever done.
Maybe so.
On a lot of levels.
Maybe so. That's true.
And maybe that's because you did grow up there. Your influence on the Cedar song, it's my favorite song on the CD, but we went and kayaked. We needed to take some photos, and we kayaked among these cedar trees in the lake along the shore that were just had been there, dead, flooded trees for 50 years. And Kelly said, I used to canoe and fish in these very trees. Those same trees have been there for 50 years. And the Cedar song is kind of like the giving tree. It's these trees having the birds perch in their branches and the fish lay their eggs in their roots. And he inspired that as we were out there in those very trees.
Donna and Kelly Mulholland are the duo still on the hill. And their new CD is titled Once a River. They'll perform songs from the CD at several locations in the near future, including May 27th at the Walton Arts Center Star Theater as part of the Artisphere celebration. Other dates include June 20th at Ozark Folkways in Winslow, June 28th at Shiloh Museum in Springdale, and July 26th at Hobbs State Park. You can learn more at stillonthehill.com.